everybody. Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, a Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostess, and today's episode is Season 3, Episode 10, Mornin' Mess. And that's without a G, and as if you're grieving, that sort of mornin' mess. So this episode, it's kind of fun. It's got a fun little twist here, so we'll get into that. Let's go ahead here. As always, John Kassir does the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. This episode was directed by Manny Coto, who also directed the movie Dr. Giggles. The screenplay was also by Manny Coto. It stars Steven Weber from TV's The Shining, Rita Wilson from Jingle All the Way, Ali Walker from TV's Sons of Anarchy, and Vincent Schiavelli from the movie Ghost. It originally aired July 31st, 1991, and then here's a description on the back of the DVD disc here. Maybe he needs a ghostwriter. A reporter gets in deep when he digs up a story about a cemetery. Ooh. So yeah, that's Season 3, Episode 10, Mornin' Mess. Let's get into it here. So this episode starts out that the Crypt Keeper is cooking. So he's got a cute little hat on, like little chef hat, and he's cooking with like a cauldron kind of thing with a little flame. But then like he's got spices, like allspice and things, but they're in like science beaker kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, it's really cool. It's neat how how they have it all set up. And he makes a joke. He's cooking out of the Betty Crocker cookbook. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. So Betty Crocker instead of a Betty Crocker. And I like his little hat. It's pretty cute. I always like when he wears a little hat. And so this episode opens up. It's like an alleyway. There's a bunch of trash. And there's like a half-eaten burger or something. And then you see someone pick it up. And it shoots to, he also picks up this newspaper that's saying about the homeless are being murdered, and it's baffling police, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. The guy playing it is Vincent Schiavelli, and he's walking down this alleyway where a lot of the homeless people live. It's dirty, and there's trash, and, you know, cardboard boxes and all that stuff where people stay. And so he's heading down to go see his friend. You know, he brought him some fresh bed sheets. His friend's not, I mean, it's kind of sad in a way, because like his friend's not doing too well. And he's like, here, I brought you some fresh bed sheets. But what he means is, he says, like, you know, like the evening edition. So bed sheets are newspaper. And he's like, they're really trying to like hit it home. And even though they're in a cardboard box, they still have women pictured, like posted up on the wall of the cardboard box from magazines. I'm like, all right, I guess you got to spruce it up somehow, right? So Vincent Schiavelli is hanging out with his friend who is just getting drunk and really not doing well. Like, he's sounding like he's coughing up a lung, like he's pretty sick. And his friend is named Dancer, and then Vincent Schiavelli's character is named Bubba. So Bubba and Dancer are homeless. Dancer's really doing bad, so Bubba's like, you know what, screw this. We need to go get you somewhere to go. You gotta go to the hospital. And he's like, no, don't worry about it.
Shit, look at that. Fuck the hooch, man. I'm taking you to a hospital.
All right. Fucking hospital. I got too many good rounds left in me yet.
Fucking Dancer, you're going down for the count. I'm going for hell.
Bubba takes off to go find, I guess, like a police officer or a phone to call 911. And after he leaves, a shadow kind of shows up, or a shadow shows up, and you don't know who it is or what's going on. But basically, Dancer gets killed. Bubba finds it, and like he comes back to look for him, and he finds it by pulling out the bottle of hooch or whatever they have, and then like Dancer's hand is attached to it, but like broken off and like bloody and stuff. And you know, it's really terrible. And Bubba's like, oh my gosh, you know, and freaking out. He got into the blood, and his handprint is there next to Dancer's body, so that doesn't look good. And so it cuts to like the next morning after this murder happens. And it cuts to Steven Weber, and he's playing a press reporter named Dale Sweeney. It's used to him, like, looking at this high heel shoe in his apartment. There's clothes everywhere. Obviously, he brought a woman home, and he's kind of coming out of it the next morning, and he's in his little apartment, and his hair is, like, all poofed out and everything. Like, it's been a real crazy night. And he heads over to the bed, which I guess it's, like, a studio. So there's a bed right there, and there's a woman in the blankets, and he like pulls it back, and he's like, oh hey. I don't even think he's that bummed that he slept with her. I think he's just bummed that she's still there, because he's like, you need to leave. And she's like, what? She's like, I thought we were going to spend the day together. And he's like, no. He's like, that was Jack Daniels talking. You need to go. And so she gets all mad and she grabs all her clothes and, you know, like calls him an ass and all that stuff and takes off. He realizes that he's running late and he's supposed to be somewhere to get a story. So he, like, you know, they're both just yelling at each other, and then he kicks her out and he gets his clothes on real quick. He doesn't even, like, bathe, really. I guess he brushes his hair, and he shows up at this cemetery for I don't know, they're, like, acknowledging something to help with the homeless murders and, like, somewhere for them to go after they die. And I guess paying for their funerals and things like that is like this company or this corporation that's doing this. And they were all a bunch of people who used to be homeless. And they're like, they're now on their feet and they're wanting to like help out. And they call it, their corporation or what they want to do, the Grateful Homeless Outcasts and Unwanted Layaway Society, or the Grateful Homeless Society. But if you go by the first thing, it spells out the word ghouls, and you're like, get it, ghouls.
None of the problems which plague our society can be fully overcome without the cooperation of private enterprise. I and six of my fellow citizens are here today, not simply because we believe that statement, but also because we share a common past. We were all once homeless, and are homeless no longer. We feel it is time to repay our city for providing us with the opportunity to help ourselves. Therefore, we have banded together to form the Grateful Homeless Outcasts and Unwanted's Layaway Society. The Grateful Homeless Society.
But it's, you know, a group of people, kind of older people, well-to-do, that used to be homeless and want to help out this homeless population. And it's just like this press conference kind of thing for it. And Rita Wilson, her character, her name is Jess, and she's part of this situation. So they're all out there and having this presentation, and Dale is supposed to have been there to do the art, to get like an interview, and he's running late. So he shows up, and as they're doing the conversation or the presentation, and you know, he's just running, he's trying to run a comb through his hair. There's a guy that he's trying to fight for the story who has shown up, and it's funny because like at one point this guy goes into the like a porta potty. And when he goes in there, Stephen Weber's character, Dale, locks it on him so he can't get out, so then he can get the story there first. And it's just, you know, it's just that whole thing of reporters fighting each other for the story and all that stuff like that. So yeah, so this presentation thing goes on. Dale is interviewing Rita Wilson in front of everyone and kind of being like, why would you throw money at them when they're dead and not use it to help them when they're living? Why wait until they pass? And it kind of stumps her. Everyone's like, that's a good question. And she's like, well, we feel there are a lot of other good corporations that do that for the living and not many who do that for the dead. So that's what we wanted to do, you know, kind of thing. He's like, uh-huh. And so while this is going on, Bubba, who is homeless and dirty, is over there like eating the shrimp cocktail thing on the side and watching all this and kind of just getting a feel for all of it. And he's actually wanted, like in the paper, as the murderer for Dancer's death, that he could possibly be this killer, and he's not. But you know, he's like, what am I gonna do? He's homeless, he has no money, like no one's gonna believe him, and he didn't kill his friend, you know? Bubba's trying to figure out what to do. So now it shoots back to the story that has come out that Dale wrote, and he's in the office of this woman who I guess is his boss or the editor or something, and he's like, you know, I didn't mean to run late, they cut my electricity, my alarm didn't go off. He's like trying to throw all these excuses.
They cut my electricity, my alarm did not go off.
Well, maybe you should buy an alcohol-powered generator. That way you could urinate into it every morning and have enough electricity for the whole day.
That's hilarious. Give me a break, Tillman.
No, break isn't exactly the term, Mr. Sweeney. Try severance.
Severance?
Yes. I'm not going to play this crap game with you anymore. Will Sweeney show up, or is he too busy getting his oil changed?
Please, don't do this to me now, please.
All right. How about 5 seconds from now?
Elaine, I mean, come on.
Time's up. You're fired.
Okay. Fine. There's no skin off my nose. I'll just go hit up the Herald.
Great. You want a recommendation? I mean, it's a great chance to cripple the competition.
And so she ends up letting him go. And so he gets home later that night, and it's storming really bad. And he gets home, and I guess the storm has knocked out the power in his apartment. And he stubs his foot on the table. And he's just all mad now and probably a little drunk because after all this happened. And this part's a little creepy because he like lights a candle and he sets it down on the dresser, which is probably not smart. He didn't have a candle holder or anything. But when he's going to the bathroom, in the background, there's lightning strike, and you can see that Bubba is in his bathroom up against the door there, and he sees them and he screams. And I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy. So Bubba has snuck into his place and is like, I need you to help me.
Don't you recognize the homeless killer?
Shit!
I need you to use those fingers and those hands of yours to do a little ink slinging for me. I need you to write an article.
What about?
I ain't no killer. The only thing I am is hot up.
If you're not the killer, then who is?
If I told you what's going on, you'd think I had a kink in my slinky. Tomorrow, they're having their first planting at the Grateful Homeless Cemetery.
Cemetery?
Go there. Hang out till sunset. You'll see. Do it, and I'll spill the rest like a fucking floodgate. I'll even throw in a few names.
Names?
Yeah. City officials with their mitts in the Grateful Homeless. Meet me tomorrow night, 25th in Tivoli.
Okay. Wait a minute. Why me?
Because you look hungrier than I do.
He wants him to help clear his name. And he's telling Dale, if you go back to the cemetery, when they have a burial, you'll see it's different. There's something wrong. Like, he kind of has followed these people who are doing this homeless society, and he suspects that something's up with them. And that maybe if to find the killer, they should look into this group. And he's like, I think you're crazy. Bubba gives him a few names of some people who should check out, and one of those is Jess, who is played by Rita Wilson. And so he goes there the next day when they're doing a burial, and Rita Wilson's coming up to him, and she's just very, like, she's just sashaying, she's being very flirty. He asks her to, like, take him out to buy her lunch, or, you know, just kind of pick her brain. I think he wanted to kind of interview her a little bit about the society. And so they end up having lunch back at his place, and she was like, this is weird, I thought it would be at, like, a nice restaurant. They end up just getting some takeout.
You know, I was thinking more along the lines of a nice, quiet restaurant.
Oh, well, this is quiet, and you don't have to leave a tip.
At least not money. So, I thought you were going to tell me a story.
Well, actually, I thought it would be better if we waited until we finished eating.
Why is that?
I lied. It's just a routine notice. Needed the company. You're not gonna storm out of here?
You've already killed my afternoon. Besides, it never hurts to improve press relations.
You know, the Grateful Homeless Society is very fortunate to have you for its spokesperson.
Uh-oh. Are we working up to a compliment?
No, it's just that most spokespersons don't have a sense of humor, nor do they look like you.
He's just kind of picking her brain about all the things of the corporation and this murder and just stuff like that and what's going on. And she's like eating her food, and at one point he's like, you sure you don't want a bite of my burger? And then she's like, I don't eat meat. And she's like eating a salad, and you're like, oh, okay. And then it cuts to them and they're having sex, and you're like, all right. I mean, she's like biting his arm really hard, or not his arm, his shoulder really hard, and like being all crazy, you know. And he's like, okay. She said that he looked good enough to eat. So there's all these like little clues where you're like, uh-huh. And he is immediately like smitten with her. He thought they had a great time. What happens is, after they are done having sex, he says like, well, can we talk off camera? And she's like, sure. When she's not looking, he turns on this portable recorder above her and kind of gets her to spill some more, you know, dirt about, to say that there's another agenda than helping the homeless. She gets really upset, and she's like, what? She gets really upset and finds out and like runs off. So she leaves. So now it cuts to, I guess, later that night or what, some night close to that. And he's heading down the same alley where Bubba lives. And he calls him Roebuck, so I guess maybe that's his last name. And so he's walking down. I guess he's looking for Bubba. And it's, you know, it's kind of creepy. Everything's just wet and dingy, and there's fog. He finds Bubba, and Bubba has already been injured. And he's like, did you go? Did you see what happened? Like, he's bleeding from the mouth, and someone has attacked him, and he's dying. And he's like, I went to the cemetery, but all I saw were graves. Who did this to you? What happened? And he's like, no, you gotta go back. Bubba's like, you gotta go back. Because he ended up getting distracted by Jess, which is probably what the point was. Like, she was like, okay, I'll lead him away from the gravesite, which we'll find out why in a little bit. And he's like, no, you didn't stay long enough. You have to go back after sunset when they bury him. You have to find out. And he's like, you better tell me your story, because he can tell, like, Bubba's going to die, right? And he's like, I need your story. And Bubba's like, and I'm dead. Bubba's gone. And he's like, crap, if I don't get this story, I'm going to lose my place, I'm gonna, you know, and everything. I guess he just leaves Bubba's body out there. I don't know. So he shows up back to his apartment, and there's a notice of eviction on it, like, immediately. Like, you can't go in here without, you know, I guess the landlord or something to let you in. So he's being evicted. It's pretty immediate. So now Dale is homeless. It's like it's within, like 2 days, he's already homeless. I guess maybe he was really behind on his rent, and all he's got on him is, like a $10 bill or something. So he doesn't have a whole lot of money on him in his pocket, and he's got some blood on his shirt, too, from Bubba's body, so that's not good. He's, like, walking around in this suit, like, all kind of bloody. And it's weird how he's just, like, literally within, like, a day or two, he gets homeless. I mean, I know he was trying to get a good story, but it's like, he was still probably making a paycheck, right? I don't know. So he's already homeless. So now he better watch out for that killer, because now he's homeless. So he's out there pouring some booze into a cup. I guess that's what he decided to spend the 10 bucks on. And sit next to his car. Some guy walks by and, like, calls him a fucking bum. And then, like, he finishes up the booze, throws the bottle and everything on the glass, like, he's all drunk. And then he goes to get into his car with the keys, and he drops the keys. And so he slowly bends down, and as he bends down to get the keys, he's so drunk he just, like, falls down onto the ground and passes out. And then it starts to storm. So, like, then he just laying there sleeping, all wet. And so he comes in the next morning to his boss, and he's still kind of damp, and he's like, I need your help. I'm being evicted. And it's been, like, 2 days. So he gave the guy that was from the beginning that Dale put in the bathroom and locked up now got his job. So he's, like, real mad about that. You know, it's like, ugh. He tells the new guy that they're burying the homeless killer. So I guess they found Bubba, and they're just like, oh, he must be the killer still, even though he's dead. And so they're burying him, and they want that guy to go out there. Dale, you know, Dale's there, so he hears about it. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to go meet him out there too. You know, I'm going to try to get a better story. And he heads out there before security can be called. And so it cuts to the cemetery. They're burying Bubba. There's a lot of gravestones, like a lot of, you know, it's like almost every night, I guess they're burying someone who is homeless, you know, and people don't really care because, you know, they're homeless. And that's just kind of how that goes with all that sometimes. So he's there hanging out after they're burying him. You know, they're just doing, like, the old school shovel burying. And he hangs out on another gravestone, smoking a cigarette, waiting until it gets dark enough. And so he's sitting in front, or, like, near the mound. When they bury someone, there's a mound of dirt and grass, and it's kind of pushed up off the ground. So he's sitting there smoking a cigarette, and all of a sudden, the ground falls. The lump goes down, and he's like, what? And it goes all the way down and, like, flattens. And he's like, oh my gosh, I guess there is something here. So he gets out a shovel, which I guess the guy's just left there, and he digs this whole thing open. He's, you know, he's in a, I guess it's a dry suit now, but he has been in a suit all day that's been wet, and he's probably hungover from earlier. So he digs and digs until he hits the bottom, and there's a door in the ground, which is kind of interesting. Like a door to a house kind of thing with, like, a knob, and it's kind of weird, you know, it's just kind of like facing down. And, like, you think it would open up, but it doesn't. It opens downward. And so he grabs a knob and goes to turn it, and it doesn't pull up like he thought. So then he falls down on the ground. He does a real hard fall straight down, and it's like this underground cave thing. And it's like it's got, like, mine shafts and stuff. And it just leads to the underground, to these tunnels. And you're like, why would they have this kind of situation? And we're gonna find out. So he falls. It's a pretty good fall. He's like, ah, geez. And he's walking around, and he's just like, what is going on? And he's like, it's just all these mineshaft things and tunnels. And he hears someone coming, and they're coming down with, like, some, like, lanterns and things. And so he starts to run, and he wants to try to get back up through the door, but he can't reach it. It's too far. So he takes off running down another corridor, and he finds, like, this coffin-shaped thing. Like, it's a, well, because, I mean, these coffins that they're burying them in are just, like, wooden standard plank coffins. And so he just climbs into one. And he climbs in there, and he's hiding so they can't find him. And he's laying there, and he's, I guess he doesn't feel it right away, but he's sitting in there. And all of a sudden he realizes he's in there with Bubba. I guess it's a pretty big coffin. And he turns over, and this part's kind of cool. He turns over, and he's face to face with Bubba's prosthetic, or I mean it's his head, but it's his prosthetic dead body. But it looks a lot like him, and it's pretty gross, and he's missing an eye. And he's, you know, laying in there next to him, and he starts screaming because he just realizes where he's at. So he starts screaming, right? He's screaming in there. He's in there. And then it kind of cuts back to where you can see more of it. And it's pretty gross because Bubba's body's pretty mutilated. And it's like wrapped kind of on him a little bit. And it's all bloody in his face, like from the side. It's pretty gross. If you haven't seen the episode, go check it out. Someone's moving the coffin with him in it. And then next thing you know, he's in this room and the coffin gets laid down and it opened back up. And yeah, there's still like, I mean, this body, this prosthetic's pretty good. And he opens up screaming and he's on a dinner table. And it's kind of cool. It's like this real fancy dinner area with like a really big chandelier. And then everyone's got like, or there's no one there right now, but he's like the main course on this dinner table. And he starts seeing these pictures of like different people from different time periods, like these paintings. And you can tell like something's up with these people. They all have kind of weird faces, but you're not quite sure. But you can kind of tell that they're vampires. And so this is how you figure out it's a vampire dinner party. And then the guy, I don't know, kind of looks like this guy that's talking to him might have been that previous reporter. I don't know, but he basically is talking to Dale and like, hey, look, it spells out ghouls.
Good evening, Mr. Sweeney. Nice of you to drop by for dinner.
Who the hell are you people?
Well, that depends. Until recently, we were known as the infamous homeless killer. But now you may refer to us as the grateful homeless outcasts and unwanted's layaway society.
Ghouls?
It's been so long since we've had fresh meat.
And then he just rips his face off. And it's pretty cool. Like, they rip their faces off. And they're vampires. They're not, like, super scary, but they're vampires. And their faces, like, their mouths are all weird. And then, like, they got really weird teeth and little pointy ears. And they're all bald. And they're all, like, in fancy suits ready for their fancy dinner. And, okay, there he is. Okay, that's right. Never mind. This guy that was talking to him was not the reporter. But then from the side comes the guy. His name's Klimsky. He's the reporter. So he's been in on it, too. So yeah, so it's like a lot of people are in on it, and I guess so he's been kind of covering it up for them, and he rips off his face, and yeah, they're all just these freaky vampires, and he's gonna be the main meal. And then they just grab his ear and rip it off in like 2 seconds. Like, they ripped it off pretty easily, and he just grabs his head like, oh my god, ah. And then they, like, the two of them, Klimsky and the other guy, hold the ear about like this bowl of blood, and they're like dipping it in the blood like an hors d'oeuvre and like licking it, and it's kind of gross. They're just like, oh yeah, blood, like a shrimp cocktail kind of thing. And then his ear's bleeding real bad. And from out there then comes Rita Wilson, her character Jess, and Jess is also part of it. And she's like, I know, I said I don't eat meat, I lied. And then she rips off her face and then you can see she's a bald pointy-eared vampire. And so they all go and they all eat Dale. And that's the end of the episode. Wow. All right. So the main thing was with this episode, I mean, it was kind of a basic plot line, but I did like the twist and some of the effects are good. So I like the fact that it's like no one's going to catch them because they're getting rid of people that most people don't care about in certain situations, you know, like them being homeless. So they're like cleaning up the street. But then they're also eating, and it's like this whole thing, and it's like these wealthy people who, they say they used to be homeless, so I don't know, maybe they were. But that's basically it. So Dale's going to be the main course for this vampire dinner party. And that's the end of that episode of season 3, episode 10, Morning Mess. So then it cuts back to the Crypt Keeper, and he's still in his kitchen cooking, and he's eating like a bunch of big human bones, and, you know, having his own little meal. Crypt Keeper, you're so punny. And the best Crypt Keeper pun is,
I guess in the end, Mr. Sweeney learned not to go digging into other people's business. Although you'll be happy to hear he's found himself a new career. As a ghostwriter.
Get it? A ghostwriter. Oh my gosh, you kill me. But he's also in a nice little suit. It's very cute. So he's all fancy for his dinner too. But that's the episode for season 3, episode 10, Morning Mess. There is a little piece of trivia here from IMDb about this episode. The original story from The Morning Mess in Tales from the Crypt was about a man who wanders into town frequented by vampires. So in the original, like, comics, it was a little different. It was more like he wandered into a town with the vampires and it wasn't like a reporter and stuff, but they kind of adapted it for this episode. The next episode is season 3, episode 11, Split Second. And yes, yeah, so I want to thank you guys so much for listening. I have a couple announcements here. I did put out a small announcement episode a little bit ago I'm wanting to put together a special Halloween episode. If you have any stories about a Tales from the Crypt episode that meant something to you, or the first one you ever watched, or something that like you can remember how Tales from the Crypt has impacted your life, please email me those stories at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. I want to put together an episode that I'll read all those on and put it out on Halloween for a special kind of spooky episode. I'm also now on Twitter, so if you want to follow the Good Evening Kitties podcast Twitter, that's @GekPodcast, so @GEK Podcast. You can also like, rate, review, subscribe, follow me on Facebook. Again, if you have anything else you want to send, like email me or questions or comments, it's goodeveningpod@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a good one.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.